Hello? This is the running commentary for, oh, wait a minute. This is Homer Simpson, not running commentary. That's an Indian name. That's my Indian name. running commentary.
And what episode is this, Homer?
Oh, this is called Boy Scouts in the Hood.
What number was it? Is it?
Number, 1F06.
When did it air?
It aired 18th November 1993. Oof, it's really hard to remember all this stuff.
Well, obviously, that's Dan Castellaneta as the voice of Homer.
As the voice of Homer.
There he is. He's here. And Matt Groening.
I'm here. This is Matt Groening.
I'm here. David Silverman, supervising director.
Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson.
It's an all-star commentary. I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner. Two Caucasian males
out of money in Sector 4. And this is lovingly directed by Jeff Lynch, who sadly cannot be here today.
And written by Dan McGrath. Great script.
Great script and very well directed. And this is a great sequence just to show you.
I think Squeaky Voice Teen is my second favorite unnamed character.
Is that right? Now, who's your first? Who's your first?
Comic book guy.
He's
comic
great.
Comic book guy.
Very good.
Very popular. Good choices.
I also like Barfly number 2, but...
Yeah, when you first came across Squeaky Voice Teen, did that voice just pop out, or did you try a few different ones? Or?
I was sort of, you know, Richard Crenna when he was in Armis Brooks, or remember?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of that. You know, the cracking voice of a teenager. Real bad, you know, impression of a teenager.
No, the amazing thing about Dan, and I think I might have mentioned this, for the first time I met Dan, I could not believe that he did the voice of Homer, because it's so different than his own voice. And I, you know, cruelly made him do it for me, because I literally didn't believe it.
You slimy. Uh-oh, moving. Uh-huh. Aw, $20. I wanted a peanut. $20 can buy me.
And within the show, it's always amazing that Homer can be talking to the squeaky voice teenager, and it's just Dan talking to himself,
know,
and they're so different.
It's a brilliant phenomenon to watch.
It really is.
Those guys go from voice to voice without even taking a breath.
You know what's amazing? David Merkin and I have this have a fairly strong belief in staging things in a proscenium style, very clearly staging the joke and not doing complicated. But the show is full of violations of that idea, and it's amazing how good the jokes are.
Well, there's always, you know, it always is dependent on the joke. If there is something that calls for that, you do it. But yeah, the important thing is never be afraid to do the proscenium when you really just have like two people standing there acting,
right.
And you know, with good dialogue and stuff, you don't have
just
to get
performing.
Fancy. But when we do have, I mean, the great thing again, and I said this, but this show is everything. This show does every style. It does, you know, full action sequences. It does full romantic comedy. It does full-on science fiction. And it always is in the it's always in the style of those things. Like right now, you know, it's a little bit of a disaster film, and it has a lot of the same angles that you would use if you were shooting a disaster thing with the squishy machine about to blow up.
This is one of my favorite sequences in the history of the show.
Just for, like, right after the disaster, it's all done, and you just a simple pan over.
Right, and then it gets calm. And the fact that it's always changing its style and jumping around is part of the thing that keeps us interested in it, that makes me thrilled to have been here, you know, for well over a decade, because it never gets old, because we always get to do different styles of writing, different styles of shooting, and different sequences all the time. Yeah, I think this is one of our big early sugar crazy things. I mean, we've done some since, but this was might have been one of the very first ones.
This is great.
This is a great
team. Of course, an ode to On the Town.
Exactly.
Exactly. But we pretty much, you know, kick Sinatra and Gene Kelly's ass in this, don't we?
Yeah. And who's that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
That's Gene Sinatra.
And it was Dan again.
That's me. By the way, speaking of you doing a shot complicated at proscenium, I think when Homer was first reaching under the couch, we originally did it with, we saw what he was touching.
Yes.
And then we said, no, it's funnier if you just
see
him.
If he just hears it, we just hear what he's feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Milhouse can't sit still. And then a great Homer joke.
Pre-goo.
Nothing better than pre-goo.
It's amazing what becomes a classic, you know, that one is.
Hey, don't go there, that's squishy!
Look, I don't know where you magic pixies came from, but I like your pixie trick.
How'd they hook up with Barney?
Wherever there's substance abuse, yeah. Barney is going to be near. That's the point. He can sense it. And, of course, for some reason, Apu is evil in that shot.
The remorse of the sugar junkie.
And this is like the classic cliche of waking up with a hangover.
Giant pupils in this episode.
I know.
Though, I
what's
say,
up with that? I noticed that.
We were having a lot of that early on in this season. We had a lot of modeling problems.
I must have joined the junior campers.
You, the proud, the geeky.
Boy, a man on a squishy bender can sure do some crazy things.
So, Yardley.
Yes.
Did the voice of Lisa or your take on Lisa come from any place specific? Is it you? Is it people you knew?
No, it's very much me.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I also feel like it's very much the writers, that they were so smart, not that I was so smart in school, but they were so smart, it set them apart from their peers, and so they didn't quite know where they fit in. So they wrote Lisa Simpson to sort of exercise that angst, and I always felt like I didn't fit in, but not because I was so smart. And so it was just funny without actually having a conversation, this melding of ideas.
Well, great. Pick the one character who's the best in the show. I think you're right. I think anybody like who feels sensitive and misunderstood identifies with Lisa. In fact, my sister Lisa, who the character's named after,
we've ruined her life forever.
Thank you so much for honoring me with a character based on me. And I said, no, it's me.
You're Bart.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm Bart.
That's what everybody in your family must fight over to be Lisa. You know, it's the only character you can say anything positive about.
She's a great little girl.
No, actually, my sister was somewhat like Lisa. So,
my favorite, I really love Lisa's sense of humor as well. You know,
well, in real life, you seem Lisa-esque.
I do, don't I?
Yes, earnest, idealistic, trodden upon.
What's interesting, in the very beginning, in the minute interstitials, Lisa wasn't as developed at that point.
Right.
And it's really amazing that you were doing the voice then, and then it really did evolve and morph into something that you were so perfect to do. And
yes, it's really fortunate. In the beginning, I was just a foil for Bart, really.
They were very much the same. They're both brats.
Yeah, Brady.
Yeah, and then it
but what we did keep alive, which was true, which was that Lisa does enjoy Bart's mischief.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
She's a big appreciator.
She's still a kid. I mean,
yeah.
She loves Itchy and Scratchy, and she...
Well, again, you know, it's great how wonderfully rounded it is that we have, you know, a very brainy character who can also be bratty and also can do bad things sometimes.
And
also
those little cliches where we study it, you know, we really play with the fact that Lisa's not an angel because that would be too easy and not
boring.
It would be boring. It wouldn't be good writing. Yeah.
I think one of the best moves we ever made was when Lisa became a vegetarian, you know, because it just gave us so much material to use.
It was a great thing, and that was I was becoming a vegetarian in the show. We'll talk about that on the show, and bothering, annoying the writers endlessly.
Really?
With how much better? Yeah, it was all that whole show is based on my experiences, and actually the people who got me to be vegetarians' experiences, bro. Because I got to meet a bunch of people who grew up as vegetarians and had those problems that Lisa did. And then David Cohen, in wanting to come up with an idea that he knew I couldn't say no to, came up with the idea. So it was brilliant on David Cohen's part.
By the way, that book was one of my all-time favorite jokes. The 10 do's and
500
don'ts.
Yeah, 500
don'ts. Yeah.
It's great. And I love the moment for once, for a second, at least seemed all right.
Down I go.
Yeah, he hurts himself. If no one else is going to run him over or hurt him, he'll actually hurt himself.
Is Russie Taylor as Martin?
Sweet cookies with you. If only you would help me remove this ribbon.
Here's a knife.
Oh, thank you. Now.
And that's Pamela as Jimbo, right? Pamela.
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes. And Nancy as
Kearney.
This man's appendix is about to burst.
This is actually one of my favorite jokes. I love this joke.
Oh God!
Right now, this. Totally accurate, by the way. Dr.
Hibbert. That feels very Merkin-esque.
Exactly what happened to me 4 years ago.
Everywhere I look, people are enjoying knives.
Enjoying knives.
Don't do what Donnie don't does.
He's going to brush his teeth.
Oh, they won't let you have any fun.
Well, if it isn't the leader of the Wiener Patrol owning up on his nerd lessons.
Homer, you should be more supportive.
You're right, Marge. Good work, boy. Egghead likes his bookie.
And then again, it shows you know how complicated Homer is. That he can do everything. He can go from torturing to being nice, and you know, it's just he's a very broad character, but he has so many facets to him. I mean, it's just all the characters. There's a real effort to keep them really complex and have all these. And again, that's because the actors can do it. You know, I really have experienced doing a lot of writing for actors that can't do the subtleties, where they can't really change. And that's what's so great here is you write something and it's going to get executed as well as it possibly could. Better than your imagination.
Who came up with the word spork? That's one of my favorite things when he first sees the jackknife and
that's an actual.
It
is an actual.
You
know, I didn't write that existing word.
Tommy Burgers a few years ago.
Is spork?
And no, and they have sporks, and the guy standing in front of me goes, "Hey, Jake, look, sporks, just like in prison."
Fantastic.
He was happy about it.
I was just going to flash back to Bart's. I didn't even know this until now that one of the patches for Bart's achievement as a junior camper is forging.
Yes, patches. Patch forgery.
This is one of our great jokes in history. Cartoons don't have to be 100% realistic.
Oh, this one by the window.
Hobbly hey, Camper Bart, ready for today's meeting?
You nearly know it, Nettie.
Oakley dokily. Now, our annual father-son rafting trip is next weekend.
Oh, no. Me bring Homer on a rafting trip?
I'm the captain. My son is Bart.
What an oaf.
How embarrassing.
Glad he's not my father.
Bart has such a positive view of his father.
Oh, Warren, I know your dad is in prison, but don't you fret. A special celebrity dad has been arranged for you.
Well, I think Ooh Floor Pie is as popular as Free Goo.
That's a very big one, too, Floor Pie. And then here is our wonderful guest star, who we very kindly have coming out of the bathroom.
Drying his hands.
You hear a toilet flush, and then he comes out.
Our guest stars will pretty much do anything for us.
They will.
Well, Ernest Borgnine was so much fun. He did it, I think, because he said his grandkids liked the show so much. And we loved him from McKell's Navy, right?
Well, did you say that he was going to say that joke? He goes, well, these kids wouldn't know me from...
They won't know me from here to eternity, most likely. Yeah. He didn't quite understand that we were purposely writing a joke.
He was great in From Here to Eternity. Oh, Marty, right?
Oh, Marty. Yeah. He was in many great films. Yeah. The Dirty Dozen.
Won the Oscar for Marty.
Yeah.
This is a great, one of my favorite sequences. This right here. Full exchange.
Dad, I really want you to come on this trip with me.
Bart, I'd be delighted to go on your trip with you.
Don't! Come on, Peg. Quit crying. It'll be fun. I promise.
I love laughs that fall apart, and Ernest did a fantastic job.
Be a fine vessel. The Yarest river-going boat there be.
I'll take it.
The most accurate sea captain line ever.
Arr. I don't know what I'm doing.
Kind of describes the character in one. Well, we often just have the characters just say exactly what they are.
Right.
Without, you know, no cleverness. They just come out and say the thing that identifies them, and then we're out of there.
Well, Homer, looks like we're boat buddies, huh?
The extreme close-up I particularly like. We're having a pretty good time.
I guess now we know why they call them rapids and not slopids, huh?
The water looks pretty good for... Yeah. Doesn't look too bad there, I think. Oh. Water is very, very difficult to do, on, especially at these prices.
I don't know. But lucky for you, somebody here is responsible. Hey, there's a New Mexico.
Whoa, Nelly! Oh, quick, Homer, which way do we turn?
So many Krusty Burger locations.
Oh, no time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
The sissy and the bald guy go.
The sissy and the bald guy.
And this is nicely done, too. Yeah. Where you suddenly through a shipping lane.
Homer, we gotta fight the current.
Wrong again, Flanders. In a situation like this, you just relax and let the current take you back to land.
Oh, goodbye.
Far away dough.
Very little dough.
It's a really great return to Act 3.
And get an insight to Homer's musical taste.
It's funny, he's obviously hungry and wants sugar, yet he chooses to dance with the sugar things instead of eat them. That also is a problem.
I got that for my birthday!
Now I have to face stupid reality again. Flanders!
Doesn't Rotter Todd look like a long-haired redhead in that shot?
He does, yeah.
Water carefully, it's our only hope.
Oh, pardon me, Mr.
He likes to clean his socks with the water.
Don't you know the poem? Water, water everywhere, so let's all have a drink.
Homer, no!
See, we teach as well as entertain. People learn.
This is funny.
We're saved.
This is also a very good joke.
We did every being caught out there joke that we could come up with, you know, and everything goes wrong.
Did you, like, research a survival manual?
Dan,
yes, very carefully.
Pardon?
You hear the seagull go, ah! That was you.
That was me.
Yeah.
I was hoping that character would take off. But
Dan's the best seagull in the business. I just want to say that.
I'm also the mascot of the Seattle team.
To take tiny bites, like so.
I think that Homer's boatmates are incredibly patient with him.
They wait a long time before they attack him.
They finish the joke.
They say, you know, he's really putting our lives in danger, but it's kind of funny. That's what they're thinking. This is always a big, I'm always a big fan of this joke, wherever you can put it in.
The animation is beautiful.
It's great.
It's very nice.
It's not that difficult. Just three different levels of panning backgrounds gives a very good atmosphere effect.
Oh, look, the Babysitter Bandit from the episode one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On a poster.
All accurate.
They haven't gotten her yet.
You know, it is cougar season, and those things don't mess around.
That was supposed to be her turns into the engines.
Oh, yeah.
Never quite satisfied me, but.
To take one of your church picnic flares.
This also is a good. he ruins their chances every time.
All right, well, that's okay. When they come to rescue him, they'll rescue us.
Go! Here's our chance. Dolphins always help humans lost at sea. Come back! Come
and of course,
back!
We've revisited the dolphins in the Halloween show where we showed how evil they actually are.
It's a good thing they're just in the ocean.
This is one of my favorite things. I really wanted to. I think people wanted to do this for years. It was fun to get Homer to slap the hell out of Flanders.
It's better to be dead than sorry.
I think that was a little ad lib by him.
It was.
That's it. I'm not even casting off until we go to the store.
Flanders feels real to me, you know?
You know, Homer, this cheese doodle is our last morsel of food.
You'll thank me when we're frying up a big, juicy fish.
Great reading, Dan.
Yeah, it's great. It's great reading, and that inspired that drawing, which is so tired, and so you really feel it.
He'll be back. Here, fishy, fishy, fishy. We're waiting.
Actually, we may have done that line after the animatic. The here, fishy, fishy.
Is that right? Yeah, it's possible.
At least so.
That's one of the great advantages is that at every point of the production process, we can always rewrite lines and add things later. All the way up to, like, even though it's a 9-month process, we can do it up to a week before we go on the air. We can come in and do some ADR and add references. Sometimes we'll often reference an actor or a famous person who dies before the show actually airs, so we have to change it.
That's a funny reading, by the way, of Borgnine.
Yes,
his
looking for his trusty.
That might have actually been what he did while he was recording.
Thanks, boy. Now be careful when you. Oops.
This is so indicative of our never doing what you expect.
What you
us
expect?
To do.
Yeah, you expect that it's gonna it's the sun that does it. Even in the fog, by the way.
That's when the sun is strongest and most dangerous.
People don't realize. See, it turns out that the crusty map was was handy after all.
Hey, wait! I smell hamburgers too.
According to this map, there's a.
That's what you call good structure, where it just looks like a joke up front, but then it actually turns into something important. That's one of the best structural things you can do in a comedy, where it plays completely on its own as a joke and then actually becomes an important plot point. Another brilliant, crusty idea. And I'm sure we said it before, but again, you hear Homer's voice, the squeaky teen is right there. That's also Dan doing Krusty. So everyone completely different and a complete character in themselves.
You want fries with that?
You did it, Dad. You saved us. I'm proud you're my father.
Oh, wait. Eating.
Which became a commercial. That really is the Carl's Jr. commercial. Don't bother me, I'm eating.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we're suing for that too.
Fantastic.
This is proof that this came first, and we all should get lots of money.
Was a farmer had a dog and bingo.
I'm glad you got Ernest Borgnine to sing this.
This is it. We get an Academy Award-winning actor. We make him sing bingo.
Yeah.
The level of this show.
This was just brilliantly done by Jeff.
And it has Ernest Borgnine guitar. Yeah. He brought his own guitar.
And then, of course, we seriously injure Ernest Borgnine at the end, at the very least. Thanks for doing the show, buddy.
He's a trooper.
He is a trooper.
We're
he is
hurt
a great
you.
Trooper. Yay, and Marcia.
Oh.
Any final words? We're running out of time.
I'm thinking.
According to my notes here, that patch that I think you said was for forgery.
Yeah,
it says here patch forgery.
So it's even. He did say that.
Yeah.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, we can cut out what I just
said.
Yeah, because
cut out
what
Matt
said. I don't
said,
listen to what other people are saying.
That was,
it's hard to. We got the soundtrack playing in our ears while we're talking.
Right, and
I want to say something. I've just been shushed, so I can't. I have nothing else to say.
It's great.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much, everybody.
Yay!
Yay! Yay.